It's so good to be here, and I'm always worried that I'm talking about food when you should be eating food, and so I appreciate you all skipping lunch to be here. It's been such a, as Dr. Ortega said, working with our graduate students, and there are others who aren't here, has been one of these great bonuses of this project. And I think back, it's been probably about 4 years ago that Dr. Ortega and our colleague, Dr. Deborah Glick, who would love to be here, but she's getting an award right now, sitting in my office thinking about this project and writing it. And we had done, decades of community intervention research, and we were really excited about this opportunity to engage the business community. I think as public health folks, it's not a segment of the world that we've done a very good job in engaging, and so we were really excited about that prospect. But then it also came to mind, we're going to be messing around with people's income. And what a great responsibility this was. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about what we've learned so far. I wish I had a lot of great results yet, but we're right in the middle of it. So as far as the impact at the community level, we're not there yet because we're still out there trying to figure that out. So I have no disclosures to disclose, I think the phrase was. Okay, great. You've seen these photos, but we've been successful so far in actually physically converting two stores. As you can see, there's a real big change in emphasis. That top one, the big item that they were selling was alcohol. And down below, with the kids painting and the work of Public Matters and Nathan Chang, it's just really changed it to a lovely place to shop, and the colors are great. We're planning on converting four stores. We actually have only done two so far, and the second two should be opening in early spring. Now, when talking about results and what we've learned along the way, and I was really happy to see so many people raise their hands when Brent asked how many of you are doing corner store conversions or thinking about doing it. We all have a huge responsibility here to really think about what does success mean. And I think that with the kind of criticisms about doing interventions like this, perhaps success needs to be defined in a lot of ways. And that's what we're trying to do along the way. I don't think we knew 4 years ago when we were sitting in our offices writing the proposal to get this money is that there would be such excitement over this type of work. And I think one of the lessons we've learned, and we'll come back around to that in a minute, is this work seems to be a focal point of excitement in the community. And I cannot stress that enough, just what a great asset that is. And we were thinking it as being an intervention, but like Dr. Ortega said, there's been so many just like additional benefits, but the East LA community really is viewing this as something's happening in our community, by our community, for our community, and what a great asset that's been. But this stuff, this is not a drive-by intervention. This is an intervention where you've got to stop and stay for the community and be with the community. I've been fortunate enough to work in East LA for a number of years with the schools, and so for me it's been a really nice extension getting out of the grammar schools and doing some community-level work. But I've got to tell you that working with our partners over at USC, our partners at Vela, Volunteers of East LA, our partners at the local bank, et cetera, it's been really great. But stuff takes time, and I think this is another great lesson we learned. You just can't walk in the door and do this. This is a really complicated work. And, 30 years of intervention work later, I've never touched anything nearly as complicated as doing something like this. And that's another great lesson. And I'm not saying that should scare anyone. Embrace it. If it were easy, someone else would have done it, right? Okay. Just some other pictures of the kids working. Mina did a great job in explaining and how the kids have been engaged. This has been another great lesson. We did not approach the kids about your food is bad, you're eating bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. Teenagers really respond well to that, right? They helped frame it, and one of the great lessons is this justice issue, this fairness issue, they're all over that. And I think we actually need to take further advantage of that. I would because they just, they're teenagers. They love a cause, and they want to change the world. And I think we hear this over and over. They want to make a difference. Another great lesson learned. Here's some just quick photos of what the stores look like before and after. Big difference, as we describe that great wall of chips that practically fly off at you and go in your mouth. Okay. And lots of physical change there. These are big changes. And, I think one of the great lessons we've learned from Nathan didn't go into these stores and say, you got to get rid of the chips. You got to get rid of the beer. You got to get rid of the candy. He's gone into the store and said, let's move them. Let's bring the fruits and vegetables to the front. Let's make them look great. People want the chips. They're going to buy the chips. Okay, so it's not viewing it as food police or anything like that. One of the other great lessons we've learned is the value of the media. As you know, all of you who are thinking about this, people are really interested in this type of intervention. We have a great project manager, Rosa Elena Garcia, who seems to know every media contact, English and Spanish, in Los Angeles. And we live in a media-rich environment. And the media has been all over it, and it's really, really helped us in getting a lot of great press. But then again, that's coming back on us to have the responsibility of doing really good work, but it's a great challenge as well. More photos about some opening day. The Ramirez Market's our second store. And you can see the kids dressed up like fruit. The very first day, I remember driving down for our first opening, and I was driving down Cesar Chavez Street, and I saw a bunch of kids dressed in fruit and thought, that's our fruit. And it was just such a wonderful moment. And you know what? I got to give these kids a lot of credit to put on a pomegranate outfit, et cetera. Okay. One of the things, and you've heard us use this term market makeover versus corner store conversion, and our colleague at Public Matters, Rhianna Estrada, has really made a strong point that unless you do something bigger than the physical corner store transformation, you're dead in the water. And so with this market makeover and changing the market, the demand for the fruit, but really thinking about how important promotion is, and this is intensive promotion. This is not just let's put some flyers up, even though flyers are great, going door to door is great, but that at every step before grand opening and after, promotion has to be continued. Okay, and lots and lots of it, and you've seen it. Now, from a research perspective, we're collecting a lot of data. We're doing a community survey. So we have 8 communities, 4 store communities, and then 4 comparison store communities. And we're actually going around to the 125 homes approximately closest to each of those stores. And we're going to be finished the first half of our baseline, and in a couple of years we'll go back for follow-up to see if there's been some neighborhood changes, community changes there. And we're going to actually go to 1,000 homes a couple times with adults. We're also doing a patron study. Actually, we are starting our first follow-up right now, probably yesterday. While we've been gone, other people have been doing that. One of the great things that we've done along the way and lessons learned is that we have partnered with volunteers of East LA, Bella, to develop capacity for folks in the community to be data collectors. And by the time they're done with the training in our project, they'll be ready to be hired by all the major survey firms for doing work in Spanish-speaking communities. So we're really lucky. So we're going to collect a lot of data from patrons. This is a bit of a challenge, standing in front of these stores and doing a quick 10-minute interview. But we're going to collect them at a couple points in time, so don't have any of those data yet. We're looking at a bunch of different things on our instrument. We're looking about, income, gender, race, acculturation, health status, what they eat, how they prepare it, where they buy it, things like that. So typical things, nothing I think that's too surprising here. We also are very fortunate that we recently got some funding from the California Endowment to do more extensive work with the youth, and I think part of that is stemming from the work we did with the youth, and the press we got caught the attention of the California Endowment, and they are supporting us. So we're also doing a student survey in 2 of the high schools that are local, and you can see we're collecting lots of data there too as well. Now, we've completed a lot of research activities so far. As Jeremiah presented, we did focus groups and learned a lot about people's perceptions around corner stores and barriers to good eating. We're in the middle of our community survey baseline and our patron survey as well. We're also very interested in what's happening around the neighborhood. So we're also monitoring what's going on with the closest corner stores to see if there's any spillover effect. And our hope and dream would be that because of changing the demand and all, that perhaps that we would see some changes there as well. Okay. Yeah, very fortunate to have Heather Hammer in the audience, who's at APP, and she was involved in our first half of our baseline data, and her team did a great job. We've had a very high response rate, as you can see, 80 and 85%. Response rate for our baseline survey in the community. I'm going to skip that. You know, looking at what we've seen, most of the people responding to our community survey, females, married, almost 90% Mexican origin, with kids, about half with a high school education, half without, roughly half employed, half not. And I'm not going to spend much time on this because it's so preliminary, but we're going to be really interested in differences related to language and acculturation, and you can see we have a nice mix of respondents who speak only Spanish versus some Spanish and mostly Spanish and then all English. So we're going to have a really nice varied group of respondents in looking at that. And also, just real quickly, you can see that we are seeing some differences in just how much money they're spending on food, and it does seem to change as people are more likely to be English speaker and consuming or spending less money on fruits and vegetables. Nothing surprising here. And also not surprising that the English speakers are more likely to be preparing less foods at home, less meals at home, not surprising. And also not surprising that more likely to consume fast food. So typical with the acculturation. Okay. As Jeremiah talked about with our focus groups, a number of barriers were identified. They've been repeated in our community survey time. You know, one of the things that I've learned for years working with Latino parents in LA Unified School District, this really big challenge of trying to get family members to eat healthier foods. Okay. But one of the other things that's really emerging, not only from the focus groups, but from the community survey, food purchasing is really complicated. It's not like a lot of people that go down to Ralph's and do all of their shopping there. A lot of folks in the community are really taking advantage of all of the coupons, all of the options, the Costco's, the deals, everything. So it's a really complicated process. Okay. Now, we are trying to do something really big, we think, and much bigger than our project. And I was recently down at the mayor's office with the food council people, and they've come up with a food policy plan for Los Angeles. And one of their top recommendations is more corner store conversions, which is fascinating to me because we don't know enough about this intervention to be the top policy recommendation. And I think for all of us interested in this, this is really important, again, to be thinking about how we can frame the successes of this. Perhaps we're not going to see the consumption pattern changes, but maybe we may see some other changes. And that's why for anybody involved in this work and thinking about what you want to research and how you want to view your successes, think about that a whole lot, okay? And also think about how comprehensive you really want to be with your intervention. I think we've learned along the way that we can continue to be even more comprehensive. And what's great about working with kids and working with community and volunteers and all that is the organic nature of what they want to do and the direction they want to go. And I think for many researchers, that's a little unsettling. But this is, you know, if we went in and said, here's the intervention, we're only doing it this way, probably not the smartest approach there. You know, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to give you a really bad comparison, okay? So I wake up every morning looking at the Hollywood sign. Well, not exactly, but I live in L.A., so we lie about where we live, okay? And this is like a Hollywood epic. It really is a cast of thousands. And there's lots of personalities. And organizing it and managing it and embracing it is a really big part of this. The process of this type of true community-level intervention, true multi-target, multi-level, multi-approach, transformational, translational, you can't phone this one in. Okay, so we look forward in the future to have a lot of great research findings and lessons learned and probably learning some stuff or thought we were going to learn it when we actually didn't learn it. So look forward to the next time. Thanks.